Seth, you mentioned something about preaching on this subject here a while back, and you're still welcome to. But I mean, this is what I was talking about this morning. I just got thinking about this, and it just came all over me. And I spent a lot of the morning writing all this down fast as I could while I was trying to prepare this morning's message too. And that don't happen very often, but it did this morning. So, this matter of music. Now, this scripture that we're going to read here, I read it to you just a little bit ago. I don't remember, a few weeks maybe ago, but music is a big issue. It's in the big issue in the churches now. It's a big issue in everybody's life. Music's a big part of our life. It's an important thing. It's a powerful thing. One of the most powerful things that there is. As far as a part of our life, a thing that affects us, it's powerful. It's powerful for good or bad. It does make a difference. The things I want to stress tonight is that music is a language. And another part of that is that music is moral. There's a moral issue about music. It's not just amoral thing. It's not something that's just neither bad nor good. It is either bad or good. And so we need to look at it. Bible's full of stuff like we're going to read here about music. Music, you know, a lot of the churches like Mennonites, Church of Christ and others, they ban any kind of musical instrument. They think there's something evil about a musical instrument. And I really have a hard time understanding their thinking on that because the Bible is so full of it. Even commands to praise the Lord with musical instruments. They say, you know, people think, well, the instruments just make sounds. No, the instruments speak. Sounds mean something. Sounds convey a message. Sounds communicate. All music is a language in itself, regardless of what the words say. You can have, and that's what the devil does a lot. He uses the music to convey his message while the words are talking about something completely different. Or he uses the words to convey his message while the music is saying something completely different. Now that's what, I'm going to have to stay within the bounds here. I'll be all over the place and we'll be here all night. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen. Try to picture this scene. Having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them, listen to this, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. What do you think that sounded like? One trumpet will arrest your attention. One trumpet will command the whole place. 120 priests with 120 trumpets all playing together. There wasn't nobody talking. No, if there was a baby crying, nobody could hear him. I mean, it was loud. The loudness of it has nothing to do with the morality of it. You know, loudness, what's that? Oh, well, I got to stay within my bounds here. And it came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now you see, that's what the instruments were saying. That's what the people were saying. That's what all of this sound that was one was saying. The Lord. The Lord is merciful. He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Accompanied by music. Loud music. Now, it wasn't like the loud music that you hear in churches today. Not anything similar. This music had one voice. And this music had one message. And it was praise to the Lord. Yeah. That's what it was about. Now, you all see that, don't you? There was nothing immoral about that. There was nothing wrong with that. I mean, the glory of the Lord filled the house. God came into that place. Till they couldn't even minister for the smoke. The cloud. Cloud is what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7 and 8 says, "And even things without life-giving sound, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" Now, here's what you need to see in that verse. The instruments talk. The instruments communicate something. Something that somebody else can understand. It's a communication. It's a language. It says something. Music, without words, says something. That is such an obvious truth. I can't imagine if people don't think about that. Music talks. You don't need the words. We've talked about it over and over. I listened to music all when I was young. I listened to all that junk music and I loved it. But I never paid no attention to the words. I was listening to music. I got the words. I know them right now. I remember the words to every one of them songs just as clear as a bell, but I wasn't listening to them. But I got them. And I got the music. And it's recorded in here. Never go away. I can walk in the store and I can be playing some song from back then and I know every note the instruments are going to hit. I know it before they hit it because I've heard it and heard it and heard it. Your mind grabs on to it so much easier than just words. That's why they make a jingle. They found that out a long time ago. This is not new stuff. People have understood this for a long, long time. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Now, you young people don't know what I'm talking about because you probably never heard that. But we did. I could say the first word, Winston and Raymond, Dad. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Did you ever hear him, Mike? No, you're too young. You're just too young. 1969 was the last cigarette commercials. They took them off the air when the clock rolled over midnight, 1970. No more cigarette commercials on TV. But when I was growing up, it was a big thing. You can take Salem out of the country, but you can't take the country out of Salem. You know, I know all them. How can I remember them so well? And everybody does. Because of that music. The music that was put to it makes you remember. Makes you remember. You never forget it. You never forget it. You never forget it. It's powerful. Man, it's powerful. People in a nursing home, that's one of the biggest tools to use. You've all seen it. I've seen it too. These older folks that have dementia and Alzheimer's and all that, they don't even know their family. They don't even know where they're at. They're totally out of it. And you can put a guitar in their hands if they played a guitar. You can start singing with them if they were involved in that kind of stuff. And they'll just snap right out of it. They just come right out of it and they're their self. They'll sing songs, every word. They know every word of the song. In their fog and in their empty lostness, the music is still the only thing that's there. You don't understand how powerful it is. And these people that monkey with it and play with it and fool with it and are not careful and they're careless with what they listen to, with what they use to worship with. Man, it's foolish. There's going to be consequences for them in their life because of the music. It's important. It's important. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Do you know that the Lord doesn't accept anything we do? It has to be acceptable unto the Lord. Our worship has to be acceptable unto the Lord. He's not just glad to get any old crumbs you give Him or mixed up with any old kind of sewer water you want to give Him. You know, that's not God. He'll reject it if it's polluted. And how in the world can these people think that they can bring the world's music into the church and try and call it worshiping God? It's rejected by God. I saw a preacher not long ago stand in front of a church, I told you about it, and sing Folsom Prison Blues in a church. Trying to make it an application to bondage. You know, this is bondage, and you know, spiritual bondage, and bondage of sin, and so we're going to sing the Folsom Prison Blues. Bringing me a six-pack, you know. No. Nonsense. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. By Jesus Christ. Don't leave that out. Acceptable to God. God don't accept everything. You can read the Old Testament and see He said, away with your sacrifices. They stink. I don't want no part of it. I'm sick of your new moons and your all of this. Get it out of my sight. They thought they was worshiping God. Cain thought he was worshiping God when he brought of his sacrifice. God did not accept it. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. If you're going to prove what's acceptable unto the Lord, and if you're going to make spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable unto the Lord, then if you're a child of God, it says you know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. How come all these people don't know that this is not acceptable? Well, ain't but one answer. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That's crooked, perverted, twisted truths. All right, one more verse. Jeremiah 6, verse 20. To what purpose cometh thee... let me start over. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. That's God talking. Said, I ain't... What are you doing? They brought all this stuff imported from far away and expensive stuff. Stuff they really liked. And they thought God would like it. God said, I ain't accepting that. What do you mean offering that to me? Just because you like it don't mean God likes it. Get that about music. Just because it pleases your lustful soul don't mean it pleases God when you offer it to Him. You can't please yourself and call that worship. You're worshiping yourself, not God.
Right.
All right, music's a language. Now, our spoken language that we communicate with is made up of characters. We call it an alphabet. Each letter represents a sound, right? Yep. A-E-I-O-U, those are vowels. Then we got all the consonants that go with it. And you mix them all together and you make words that mean things. Words that communicate things. Well, that's how it is. In every language, there's an alphabet. Or you can't communicate. I mean, you have to have those sounds. Music is made up of notes, which represent sounds. Is that true? Absolutely true. How many are there in the scale? Yeah. You've actually got seven notes. And then you got an octave is eight. That's kind of significant, ain't it? Number seven means something, don't it? Music's made up of notes which represent sounds. Now you can take the letters of the alphabet and you can arrange them in a certain order to communicate certain thoughts and ideas and feelings. Musical notes are arranged in a certain order to communicate certain feelings and desire. And not only notes, but music is made up of three parts. You got melody and harmony and rhythm. Those are the three parts of music. And the way those are arranged and combined also communicate something. And they excite feelings and emotions. And you know that's true. There's music that makes you want to dance. You can watch the children. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, that's the way it is. What is happening there? That music's saying something. That music's affecting the emotion, the feeling. It affects your feeling. I mean, you're not even thinking about it. It goes around your mind. Speaks directly to your heart. The way the music's an intricate part of the creation. And by the way, let me back up here just a second and say this too. You can take letters of the alphabet and you can arrange them so that they form profane words, can't you? All right, you can take four letters. We talk about four-letter words. You can take four letters and put them together. And each letter by itself doesn't mean anything. You can hear the letter, it doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't arouse any kind of feeling in you. It doesn't affect you at all. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. What's a B? What's a C? Doesn't mean nothing. But you can arrange them in a certain way where when it is spoken, it's offensive. It's immoral. It speaks and communicates and conveys profanity, we call it. It's profane. You can mix them together and it can be profane. Or you can mix them together and praise God with the same letters, but arranged. It's how they're arranged. Music's the same way. Music can, it was designed by God, part of His creation, and it is for worshiping God. I mean, that's the main purpose of it. That's not the only purpose of it. God made it and it's like medicine to our soul. It's a big part of our life, our soul. It's a part of the language of the soul. Yes, it is. But you can take those musical notes and arrange them. And you can take the melody and the harmony and the rhythm and you can turn them around and upside down and rearrange them. And you can make music that is profane. You can make music that is immoral because it arouses ungodly lust in you. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine listening to the stripper song and not thinking about what that song's about? Who would hear that and think, well, ain't that a nice little song? Just listen to that. Would you? No, it's saying something, ain't it? It's painting a picture in your mind, ain't it? Yes! Music's powerful. It's an intricate part of the creation, and it's from the mind of God. But Lucifer was the archangel who was created to make music. And since his fall from heaven, he's used it very skillfully and effectively in his efforts to destroy the crown of man's creation, which is of God's creation. Did I say man? The crown of God's creation, man. He's done a good job. He knows what he's done with it. Music excites and creates feelings and desires. That's what it does. Obviously it does that. Since the heart is the seat of our desires and emotions, music speaks directly to our heart without being processed through the mind first. You hear music and you feel. You don't really know why you're feeling it. There's no reasoning going on. You hear the music, it just arouses feelings and desires. It creates feelings and desires in your heart. Music speaks to your heart, not to your mind. Music don't speak to your mind. Music speaks to your heart. It conveys that message, whatever's being aimed at you. It's aimed right at your heart and your mind is bypassed. Jesus said that all the evil that defiles us, where does it come from? Did Jesus say it came from that sinful nature you were born with? No, what did Jesus say? Now, I don't care what men say and what the Baptists say and what some theological seminary says. What did Jesus say? It comes out of your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All the adultery, fornication, thefts, and on. It all comes forth and proceeds from the heart. And that's what defiles man. So, we're talking about something that speaks directly to your heart. That affects your heart. That guides and manipulates your heart and your feelings. Music. Music. So don't you think that's pretty important? So that makes it a moral issue. It's not something that's neutral. Music's not neutral. How absurd. How mindless to think such a thing. Is that music don't matter because it's just neutral. There ain't no moral issue about music. Oh my goodness. You talk about blind. You talk about a non-thinker. You can't observe life for any time without realizing that cannot be true. So it's a duty and responsibility of everybody that names the name of Christ to be discerning and careful in the matter of music, including what they listen to and what they use to worship God. Now, I agree that there's a lot of songs in these hymnals and stuff that shouldn't even be in there. Ain't no doubt about it. But there's a grand difference between what's in the hymnal and what they're singing now. And what the music is saying now and what the songs in those hymnals say. Even if the words are not perfectly biblical or perfectly in order with what the Scripture teaches. Even that, these music today is not saying the same thing. All right? The letters of the alphabet have no moral significance, but they can be arranged into words that do. You can even fluctuate your voice and your tone and change the meaning of what you're saying and make it profane. We call it suggestive. You know what that means, don't you? People say things and the words they're saying are not really profane, but the way they say it, you know what they mean. This is especially true in the matter of flirtations and things between men and women. It's just the way they say it. Music's the same way. You know, it's a powerful tool. Musical notes have no moral significance standing alone. If I stand up here with the guitar and hit a C, you know, or a ding and hit the C, that don't mean nothing. That don't tell you nothing. One note doesn't say anything. It's a sound. But if you mix them together, it's music. If you mix it together, it makes a message. And it makes a sound that's saying something. Standing alone, but they can be arranged to convey a message that does. This makes music a very powerful tool, both for good and for evil. And since music has that power, it can easily be used to break down morality or strengthen it. Now, are you following me? Are you with me here? If music does have this moral quality, then it can be used either way. It can be used to encourage and fan the flames of immorality. Or it can be used to encourage good morality. Where are y'all at tonight? What in the world? It does. And we use it. It's used that way. Popular music is never meant to encourage the morals of people. Country music, what are the themes of country music? We've been over this time and time again. What do they sing about? Drinking beer, number one. Adultery. Running off with somebody's wife or somebody run off with his wife. Misery. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. They even made fun of it themselves.
way back 45 years ago. That was on Hee-Haw, and they were mocking country music because that's what they sang about. Woe and misery and drinking beer. And being in prison. Yeah. The Folsom Prison Blues. Is that true? So, it's not encouraging you to live a good life and be moral and upright, is it? No, not at all. Well, what about rock and roll music? Do they sing about virtue and purity and truth and honoring God and your neighbor and all that? No, they talk about murdering, anger, violence. It's now about murdering cops and all that, and killing people and suicide and hatred toward God. That's what it's all about. Now, you can't argue with that. I mean, facts are facts. It's the way it is. I should have wrote down the words we read the other night there at the house. I just pulled up, I write the song. Remember old Barry Manilow with a big long nose that used to sing years ago? And he was like Seth called him a lounge singer or something. I don't know. He wasn't a rock and roll singer. He wasn't a country music singer. He was just one of them that just sang these mellow songs that all the women liked. And, sort of. But that song, I Write the Songs. It's the devil himself in first person mocking the whole world and saying to you, I write the songs. I have a place in your soul. You ought to read the words. It's shocking. And that was a very popular song. But that's where we're at. I mean, and that was 40 years ago or more. The popular music can just openly mock. And everybody is so foolish and blind and stupid that they just keep, well, I like this kind of music. It's my music. I like my music. Leave me alone. That's the attitude. It's like you're trying to take a Bible away from a baby or something. And they fight you for it. Let me see where I'm at here. It's a real powerful tool. Since music has this power, it can be easily used to break down morality or strengthen it. Music itself can calm and steady your soul. Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord, came upon Saul. I mean, he'd go mad, crazy. I mean, just, madness would overtake him. How did they deal with that for a while? They went and got David. And David played his harp, and old Saul would just calm right down. The evil spirit would leave him. He was troubled. That's what that evil spirit means. He was troubled. He was one of these that was depressed. But David could play his harp, and he would just cheer right up. It changed his mood. Music has the power to do that. It can calm and steady your soul. That's a good thing. I'm telling you, you can use it for that purpose for yourself. You got troubles? Just sing. You can sing them right away. You can. You can just sing the darkness right away. Sing the trouble. Sing the anxiety. All these people, go for the pills. Why don't you just go for a song? It can cheer you up. And I ain't talking about the Eagles or George Jones. He ain't going to cheer you up.
No.
I mean, that ain't going to cheer you up. Did that sound like George Jones?
No.
No, I'm afraid it didn't, did it? Music itself can stir your soul to anger, to violence, to step over the line into immorality. It can do all those things. There's a song that accompanies all those things. There is. It'll push you right over the edge. It'll be enough to get you to step on over. Music accompanies all these mass shootings and stuff. There's always music involved in the mix. Yes, there is. People that listen to this mad music of our day, it absolutely drives them crazy. It would drive me crazy. I can't stand it. It's just, It's so offensive to my soul. The music. It ain't music. It's noise. Noise. And it's violent. And it does not speak peace. It speaks trouble. It ain't no wonder. I think about it every time I go out in public and I hear that stuff blasting everywhere in the store or in a gas station, wherever you're at, you know, on the Christian radio station. And I think, my goodness, it ain't no wonder everybody's nuts. Our government has used it for years in warfare. I remember when they had old Manuel Noriega down there in Panama, had him cornered, and that's what they did. They set a bunch of big old speakers out there and they just blasted them with rock and roll music until they said, stop, stop, and give up. It'll drive you crazy. And they know it. And people will pay, I don't even know what it costs now to go to one of these rock concerts, but they'll pay big bucks to get in there. To have done to them what we do to enemies to break them down and drive them crazy and make them give up. I won't say that. Never mind. I will too. I saw here, it's been a few years, but they was having trouble in the malls with these young people hanging out, so they started playing Bing Crosby music and they fled like rats. I mean, it kept the place clear of them. They couldn't stand it. I think I'd leave too. All right, it can incite you to anger. It can incite you to violence. Music does that. You know what Hitler, what kind of music was Germany playing during the war and leading up to the war? Marching music. Yes. Charging, marching, war time music. Because they knew that would be a help. I remember the first war in Iraq. I remember seeing it on the news. They marched the Scottish brigade marched in, and they marched in front playing their bagpipes. It scared them Arabs plumb to death. I mean, it totally demoralized them. Really? I mean, it's a fact. Everybody's known it for years. Why did they have drummers in the military? Drummers, musicians accompanied them into battle. Because it speaks to your emotions. It upped the morale. It spooked the enemy and broke them down. They called them the ladies from hell. They were wearing their kilts and playing their bagpipes. Ain't that something? You can come at them with a gun and a bayonet and they wouldn't run as fast as they would about that music, man. That music just done something to them. I mean, it was powerful. And it still is. It works that way. The devil knows it. That's why he's using it so powerfully to destroy the work of God. And to destroy lives. Music affects our mood. Now, you absolutely know that's fact, don't you? Music affects your mood. You can improve your mood. You can make it worse by music. Music can create our mood. Music affects our attitude toward others. It does. Music has a way of speaking to our proud heart. Somehow we take pride in music. It puffs up our pride. Music does. It can. Music changes our attitude, affects our attitude toward God. I mentioned a week or two ago about the music there, this contemporary Christian music that they talk about, how it's sensual music. It's breathy singers. It's sensual rhythm and everything. It's sensual music. It's not music to worship God with. It's music you play in the bedroom. And they're playing it in the churches. And they're worshiping themselves. And it's no wonder there's so much immorality in the churches nowadays, because the music matches the attitude of the people. You don't worship God with that kind of music. I mean, it's totally different than There is a fountain filled with blood. Whole lot different than Rock of Ages cleft for me. It's a whole lot different than all the songs that we sing about being freed from sin and exalting the Savior and talking about heaven. They don't rock to heaven, do they? That's not the theme of their songs. Did you ever hear that? Does any of them talk about heaven? No, they talk about here and now. They talk about pleasure. They talk about love. But love here and now. Pleasure, love and pleasure now. And approval while you're still in your sin. That's what they sing about. Our attitude toward ourselves, music affects that. Music affects what we believe big time. True words put to song are a powerful influence for good the rest of our life. A song can speak to you the rest of your life. A song can pierce through the confusion and the cloudiness and deliver a truth, speak a truth to your heart. Yeah, it can do that. True words put to song are a powerful influence for good. False words put to song are also a powerful influence that can warp our thinking and cause us to be deceived the rest of our life. And we know that's a fact. There's a lot of doctrine that's believed now, mainline. It is the foundation. It has become the foundation of what they believe. And it came from songs, not from the Word of God. All this stuff about grace, everybody mixed up on what grace is and what it means, and this perversion of it. Most of that came and was delivered through songs. Yeah. Mercy. And I give you some examples about that, but most of you know already. But false words put to song, oh, how powerful it is. It can embed into your subconscious, if you will, thoughts and ways of interpreting and thinking about things that are not right. But man, they got in there somehow and it changed your way of thinking forever. And I mean, it takes a nuclear bomb to get it out of you. And it just rarely happens. That's the power of it. It has that power. Many, if not most, people put as much authority in what a song says as what they do about what the Word of God says. And that's true. A lot of these, even, you know, Southern gospel is just as bad as any of it. It's just like the Christmas story getting all mixed up and then the resurrection, that's all mixed up. You know, we got the Easter Bunny and the order that everything happened and all of that. It's all mixed up. And you know, that's the same way with everything else. Music has a way where people, you know, they put as much authority in it. How can you sing such a beautiful song? And it speaks to the heart, so, but those words are put in there and made you believe something that's not true. But this is something that's subtle, and it happens almost without their consent. Because the music communicated it to their heart, circumventing their mind. So they're unaware how they came to believe what they do. A lot of people believe all this stuff, and they don't know why they believe it or where they got it from. They can't show it to you in the Bible, but they know it's true. I mean, it's, no, it's true. Because that music so cemented it in their heart. Oh, my, my. I just think of so many songs. This thing could just get too big to deal with because there's so many examples to give. Musical instruments. There's pipes and strings and there's percussion. Drums, something that you hit to make a sound. There's stringed instruments where you pluck a string or you draw a bow across the string or you hit a key to pluck a string. I mean, it's stringed instruments or pipes, that's wind instruments, or stringed instruments or percussion instruments. That's what you got. And that's all the Bible mentions. It doesn't ever mention a synthesizer or a fuzz box or any kind of distorted, messed with sounds. We say acoustic guitar. What does that mean? That just means a real guitar. A real guitar that ain't distorted electronically to make some unnatural sound. Are you supposed to praise Him with a fuzz box? Does the Bible say that? No, it says praise Him on a stringed instrument. Stringed instrument. It's an instrument of 10 strings. A psaltery. A harp. You know, all of these things. Here, I'll read it to you. Psalm 150, verses 3 through 6. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. What about that? Is that like the peppermint twist? The Charleston? Is that how you praise the Lord? No. No. But there's sometimes you just got to move. You just got to move. You don't you think you can praise the Lord with your body? Lift up thy hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord. Yeah. We just sit like wooden Indians, afraid to move. Well, I don't think there's a thing wrong with praising the Lord with your body, like lifting your hands. I mean, don't you ever feel like just jumping up and going, well, that's dancing. That ain't the waltz. That ain't hugging up a woman tight as you can hold her and walking around together. That ain't making obscene movements with your body. That ain't dancing's the same way. It's obscene or it's holy. Now think about that. Who else is going to tell you that? Yeah. David danced before the Lord. Right. He didn't do a worldly dance. It was not an obscene dance. His wife said it was, but you got to take into account what kind of person she was, what she had in her heart. You got to take into account that wicked people call good evil. Sure. David said, "You think that was something? Watch this." That's what he said, basically. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but he said, "You think you're going to stop me from praising God?" They were bringing the ark in. David had something to shout about, something to dance before the Lord about. He was praising God and happy in the Lord. He wasn't carnal. He wasn't fleshly. He wasn't having a fleshly good time. It was about God. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Have you ever been in a church where they played cymbals? I have. I remember we went to Houston that time and I had John Boer and Eric Fears with us. And they come in, they didn't know what to think. And they sit on the front pew and everything got started. And here we went a-singing, you know, and some guy over here in the corner just all of a sudden just sat up and... You know, and John liked to come plumb unglued. What in the world? Well, it was pretty loud. But, you know, I kind of miss some of that stuff. Oh, yeah. I know it's easy for that to get out of hand and get out of bounds. But man alive, are we going to just live our life scared of that? No, the Bible says, I just read to you, he gave us instruction about praising the Lord. With the high sounding cymbals, with the loud cymbals, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. That's the last psalm. That's the last thing he had to say to us. Almost. He had another thing there to say, but that's one of the last things. The Bible teaches us that we're to praise God with all these instruments. So it's not the instruments that are immoral. It's what you play on them. It's what you play on them. Yep. I remember, you know, I had a nice Gibson guitar. Well, that thing now would probably be worth $1,100 or $1,200. I think it cost like $900 back then, didn't it, Dan? But when I surrendered to God, I took that thing and traded it for another guitar of much less value because I couldn't play that thing in church. I just couldn't do it. And I didn't know nothing back then, but I knew that. I couldn't pick it up without playing something else or thinking about something else. Better to just start with something sanctified. And it always bothered me. I've still got that guitar that I traded it for. And, you know, every once in a while you get around somebody and they grab your guitar and they want to play junk on it. I didn't like that. No, that guitar always, to me, that guitar was sanctified. It was for God's work. It was for worshiping God, not for that. It's not the instruments, but it's what's played on them. It's the message you convey with them. What does he say to use all these instruments for? To make people dance? To get everybody excited? What are you supposed to do with them? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But what about unnatural instruments? Like I mentioned a while ago, fuzz boxes and synthesizers and all these other things that they got now. Kind of hard for me to imagine how you can make a holy sound with a fuzz box or a wah-wah pedal. I don't know if they still use that or not. That's what we had back then. I don't know. Maybe this new now generation, maybe they call it something else. They're making the same sounds. Acoustic guitar simply means a normal guitar without the electronic distortions in it that make a completely different sound that's associated with worldly and wicked things. Ain't no doubt about it. All that distorted guitar noise is not. It is associated clearly with the bad music of the world. Amen. Amen. But now you hear it in every Southern gospel song. They got her boy sisters. I mean, they're squeezing every bit of it out of there they can get out. They got her turned all the way up. Yeah, steel guitar. Well, ain't nothing wrong with a steel guitar. But how can you separate that sound from what it is so much associated with? Beer drinking music. How can you separate? We were in a church one time down in Georgia. It was Harry Nix's church. And I remember there was a guy there. And he played a steel guitar. And he was good at it. He did a good job. But I never could. You know, it was kind of a contradiction in my mind. As I listened to him playing that in church, even though he was playing church songs, you might say, on it, all I could think of was George Jones. Yeah, and Hank Williams. Well, he played better than Hank Williams' guy did, though. It wouldn't take much there, but really, it's the association. And whatever it's associated with is going to affect what it's saying. There you go. The prevailing attitude. Now, let me hurry up here. The prevailing attitude and mindset of a culture or a generation does influence its taste in music. You listening to me? The prevailing attitude, thinking, concerns of a generation, of a time period, or a culture of people, it affects the music, the popular music of that culture. We seek after the music that matches our inward desires. Let me see if I can maybe make this a little clearer here. There are prevailing desires, feelings, attitudes in every generation. And in every different culture that are related to the times they're living in. That's why the music changes as the time progresses. We've got this XM radio. They've got 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And what does it say? X2 or something like that. 2000, you know. But it's, if you just go through those buttons, you can just see in about 30 seconds, you can see the degeneration of music over the decades. Every decade was different. The 50s followed World War II and the Great Depression. You got to think about the time period that that was. It was a time when everybody was happy and things were prosperous again, for the most part. It was. The music was that way. The music of that time was upbeat and made you want to dance. While the words of the music were singing about breaking down the morals of the past generations. Wake up, little Susie. We got to go home. On and on and on. There's some of them that are so profane, I don't even want to say the words to them. From the 50s. But the music was saying something else. The music was saying, oh, be happy. Dance. Ain't that wonderful? Music was speaking to everybody's relief after the war and the depression and the victory and the prosperity. Everybody was, the music was according to that. But the message of the music was, forget all these morals. Let's start dating. How about let's just stay out all night? I mean, don't tell your daddy. Your daddy don't have nothing to do with it. It's all about this love thing and young culture, this youth culture that divided our culture into the youth and the older people. Do you know it didn't used to be that way? Up until that period of time, the young people did just like their parents and thought the same way as their parents for the most part. They followed in them. But this drew a line and separated. The young people had their music now, and the old people had their music. It was that divide. Now it's come to the point where we're at right now, see? It's divided the church on earth. The 60s was a time of rebellion and a total collapse of morality. Yeah, it was. It's when we kicked God out. That's when the unisex junk started or came to fruition. It's when the drug culture started. The music took up and the drugs accompanied it. Drugs became a big deal. But drugs were carried in with the music. Mm-hmm. I was reading here a while back this long, long article about American Pie. You know that song? Long song. I don't even remember who wrote it. But everybody's heard that song. Heard it. Everybody's always wondered about the words. They were a mystery. What was he talking about? Well, I was reading here a while back. The man that wrote it sat down and told him what the day the music died. I mean, he really did, you know, and here's the thing. It's like the devil again, just speaking in first person. Just saying, look what I did. This is what I'm doing. Y'all too stupid to even see it. You're just like a bunch of minions. You're just like a bunch of lemmings just following in line, listening to my music, following my plan, falling into my trap, just lining up and doing just what I want you to do. And, you know, that was interesting to read that. Because it was deep. It wasn't just shallow. I mean, he was deep with his philosophy about what he wrote that song about. And like the devil always, there was a whole lot of truth in it. The music of that time degenerated into electronic instruments that distorted the natural sound of music. Y'all realize that, don't you? The 60s is when that happened. In the 50s, they played guitars and drums. That's it. Sounded like guitars. Sounded like drums. In the 50s, it turned into this, you know, unnatural, unrecognizable sounds. And it was accompanied by drugs and blatant public immorality. Nakedness. What about Woodstock? What was that all about? Mm-hmm. That's where the music took us. That's where the music went. Don't tell me music has no moral issue about music. Don't tell me that. What were they doing at Woodstock?
What was it supposed to be all about?
The music, man.
The music.
But what were they doing there?
Drugs and orgies. That's what was going on there.
Filth.
Can you imagine? I don't even know. Think about the place, what it was like. It was so trashed that it is about ruined the whole place. The following decades continued the decline of popular music to the point it is today. Now, do you remember what I said here? The prevailing attitude and mindset of a culture does influence its taste in music. As we degenerated morally, so did our music. Popular music, I'm talking about. The music that everybody listens to. The music that's on your radio. It degenerated. The music that everybody buys, that used to buy, that is in the stores, that was available for you to get. It declined to the point where it is today, where it's not even music anymore. It's nothing more than noise to drown out the thoughts that are tormenting the minds of the people of this generation. That's really what it is. That's what they play on the radio. All of them. Christian radio, everything. It's all about, it's just noise. Am I the only one that thinks that? Or am I off the rails or what? I don't see no music in it. There's nothing that there is to like. I don't understand it. I don't understand how people can listen to this thumping, out of sync. The cars go by the house and, they're not even in rhythm. There's no rhythm. There's no melody. And there's no harmony. It's not music. It's noise. There's no rhythm. They just hit it once in a while, just at random. You know what I'm talking about? It's jungle. It's bad jungle music. They got more rhythm than that in the jungle. They got more music about them in the jungle, savages, than what we've got now. It's degenerated into nothing. It's just noise. To find anything that can be called music, we pretty much have to go back a few decades to find what you can really, justly call music. That has melody and harmony and rhythm and that's all put together in an orderly fashion. Music is orderly. Noise is not. What did they hear when they come down off the mountain, Moses and Joshua? They heard singing. That tells you it was supposed to be music. But it sounded like war. Well, what do you hear in a war when men are fighting? I mean, put yourself back in that time. You didn't hear airplanes and bombs and all of that. What did you hear? You heard the clanking of swords and spears, and you heard screaming and voices. That's what you heard, ain't it? Think about that. Think about swords clashing together. Think about the noise of the commotion of the voices and the screams and all that. Think about that. That's what Joshua and Moses heard. That's what was going on while they were worshiping down in the camp. Around the golden calf. With their clothes stripped off. Naked. That was their music. Y'all got that real clear? I mean, how could the picture have been painted any more clear than that? What kind of music was that? Well, it wasn't Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It wasn't what we sang a while ago. Some golden daybreak. It wasn't like that at all. Was it? They weren't talking about that kind of stuff either, were they? They sat down to eat and rose up to play. Is that what it said? And they rose up to play. They was having a time. They was having a real worship service. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the oldies are still so popular. And if everything continues, you ever think about this? What are the future generations going to find in this generation as far as music
that's worth keeping. Is old Kanye West, is he going to be popular 50 years from now? Is everybody going to be seeking out his music to listen to? Boy, that's one of my favorites right there. Is that what they're going to be playing in the stores? In the restaurants? You reckon? Snoop Dogg? Screaming and hollering, all these other, you reckon? No. No, no, it's vanity. There's nothing to it. It's not worth keeping, so it ain't going to be kept. So if we care about the truth, and we're concerned about doing what's acceptable in God's sight, then we got to be honest and discerning in this matter of music. I agree. I agree with what I said there. Sure do. Amen, Brother Mike. I like that. That's true. We got to be concerned. It is something we ought to be concerned about. It's something you shouldn't just say, "Hey, who cares? Not important to me. Why should I care? Let everybody do what they want." Don't judge people. Nah, you better judge yourself in this matter. You better get some discernment in this matter. You better care about it. We got to accept the fact that music communicates, that it is a language in itself. It's the language of emotion and feelings. That's what music is. And it affects every one of us in here that way, and every other person that's ever lived, it affects them that way. All of your life. As long as you live, music will have that power in your life, in your soul. We got to recognize its power for good and for evil. And we've got to resist the evil and do the good. We shouldn't listen to music that affects us negatively, that stirs emotions that shouldn't be stirred, that stirs thoughts and imaginations that shouldn't be stirred. What should music do for us? What should music cause us to want to think about? God, truth, honor, things that are true. Things that are just, things that are pure, things that are holy. That's what music ought to do. We ought to turn it off, and we ought to make sure that we listen to the right kind of music. Music that edifies the soul. Not music that leads our mind off into that darkness. It'll do it. It'll do it. We got to recognize its power to influence our own heart and seek that which is good to the edifying of the body. Just like every other part of our life and walk, the music we allow, music we listen to, and participate in ought to be holy. Is it holy? Judge it by that. Not all music is evil. Not all music that didn't come from the church hymnal is evil. I'm not saying that at all. But it's pretty easy to discern. It really is. I mean, I don't know. I just believe that the mouth of the righteous knows what is acceptable. There's something in you. There's the Holy Ghost of God that lives in you if you're saved, if you're a child of God. And He guides you into all truth. And it's just, you know, I'm not comfortable around. Some of that music is just so offensive. It's just like somebody dumped a big stinking pile of garbage right in the room where you're sitting. I mean, it's so offensive. I remember watching a seminar on this that Frank Garlock, I believe it was, that did that. We still got the videos, and I got lots of them. I wish you'd listen to them. I mean, it would help you. He did a good job. It was years and years ago. But he plays little excerpts of music. And the people sitting in the audience listening to him, you can see how it affects them. It's just like, it shocks them what they're hearing because it's so vile. And offensive. And this was in the early 90s. And he would stop it. Stop, stop. He'd say, "We bought that yesterday at a certain Christian bookstore right down here on certain street." And everybody's just like, you know. That was 30 years ago, almost. Now everybody's so desensitized, and like none of it. Just don't think none of it. That's why it's hard to communicate this kind of stuff. One more thing I want to say. If you're really a sheep, you know the voice of the shepherd. And the voice of a stranger, Jesus said, you will not hear. You will not listen to. So when the music is communicating to you, if it ain't from Him, you'll know it. Now, if you're confused in that area, you need to sharpen your axe. You need to examine yourself. I don't understand why there would be a problem here in people understanding and discerning. You need to be challenged about it once in a while. The popular opinion of everybody is that music don't matter. It's just a matter of taste. It's just like some people like green beans and some people don't, Gary. You know? Some people like this and some people don't. Some people like raisins and some people don't. Strange people, but they don't. I mean, and they think music is the same way. Well, I like my rock and roll and I like my country music and I like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I just like to, you know. And it don't hurt nothing and it don't affect nobody. Yes, it does. It's one thing I've tried to hammer in tonight. Moral issues are issues because it affects other people. That's the whole basis of morality. Moral law is that what I do affects somebody else negatively. That makes, if I transgress against somebody, that's immoral. If I hurt somebody else following my own selfish things, that's immoral. Well, music is a tool by which you're encouraged to do that. Why are they writing songs about killing cops if it don't affect people? Everybody's got a song. Songs go with everything. Every point in your life is marked by things that are sensory, you know, like smells, like songs. They're attached to your memories. Big part of life. It's a big important thing. You need to think about this. You need to study about this. There's so much more that could be said about this. And it's just an issue. Grieves me that the ignorance of people nowadays and the lack of teaching in the churches about everything. This is just another subject. But people are so void of any understanding about everything. Sin, salvation, the way of salvation, and issues like this. You know, this is why we don't rock here. That's why we don't. I don't like canned music in the church. Never have. I avoid it, however we can. I don't like that. It's worldly. I've never been comfortable. It's just like I get that same feeling in my soul. It does. It affects me that way. When you go in church and somebody gets up to sing and they turn on the fake music that who knows who's playing, and it's always loud and it's always got all those instruments we've been talking about playing in their worldly tones, with the instruments are saying worldly, worldly, this is country music, yeah, or rock and roll music, always the loud drums. The percussion is way out of balance. The rhythm is way out of balance. I don't like it. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, I believe there's a moral issue there. And I don't believe, I've never been in a place where the Spirit of God, I just felt like the Spirit of God left when they turn it on. That's the way I feel about it. And I believe it's right. Amen. All right, well, let's stand and I'll quit. Yes. So different when somebody just plays an instrument, a stringed instrument, or a pipe. Amy plays a pipe. Seth plays a stringed instrument. She played a psaltery here at the Christmas thing, you know. Sounds a whole lot better. It's real. You know who's done it. It's something you can worship God with. I mean, what if, you know, it's canned music. What if we just brought in a band to play? I mean, there's a worldly band. They was playing in a bar last night, but they're such good musicians and they can play so good. We just get them in here to play with us while we sing. Yes, that's right. Ah, well, as long as I can do it, I'm just going to keep on doing it this way. Don't need to change and go to the world and allow all that stuff that is immoral. It's immoral. Amen. And, oh well, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God, the verses we've read, the things we've talked about. Pray you'd help us to keep these things in our understanding. Lord, help us to be discerning about music in our life. Lord, help us not to allow ourselves to be immersed in this kind of stuff. We can't help hearing it from here and there. The world's playing it everywhere we go. We hear it. But it doesn't have to. We can shut the door of our heart and our soul and stop it from affecting us the way the devil's trying to make it do. Please help us, Lord. I pray for these young people. It's a big issue with them. And I pray, Lord, that they'd learn to love good music and to use music aright in their life and to enjoy it and to benefit from it and to be edified by it and encouraged in the Lord. It can do all that, but the devil's at hand, and so is all the world, to hand them a plate full of poison. Please help them to be wise about this and to walk circumspectly. Lord, be with us now. We're going to leave, go home. I pray you'd help us this week. Watch over Saul. Pray you'd work in hearts. Pray, Lord, that needs would be met. And I pray that you would guide and direct us and help us to be a blessing and ready to be a blessing out there to other folks. In Jesus' name, amen.